if you're able, chapter 4, 2 Timothy. Appreciate you coming out on Thanksgiving Eve. I told my brother on the phone, I said, I'm going to try to let the people out early. Sometimes that happens, sometimes that don't. I said, thanks. They're going to be cooking tonight. He said, no, that's not why. My brother said that. He's 73, going on 74. He said, they've been on their feet all day. They're tired. Maybe that's right. I charge thee, verse 1, therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Just hang on to that word, exhort. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away They shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also who love his appearing. Let's pray. Father, we know how we made it. We made it by grace, through faith, through the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, Lord, my heart's desire is to be a blessing, a help, and to do a little exhortation here tonight. So, Lord, help me to do that. Touch hearts. And Lord, if there's one here that doesn't know you as Savior, may they rejoice and get saved tonight even and have the best Thanksgiving they could ever have in their whole life. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. My wife made the best chicken and rice tonight, I'm telling you. It just make your tongue slap your brains out. It was so good. I told her, Kathy, I said, whatever you do, remember how you did that. Whatever you do. She said, well, you can just put uncooked chicken in there and it'll do. I said, no. The same exact way you cooked that. Hang on to that. That is sure enough comfort food. It was so good. What she did, I don't like dry rice. I don't like lumpy rice, sticky rice. You may like it. I like moist, flavorful rice. And she had, we had a couple over Sunday, and she had some of that leftover fries chicken. And she kind of skinned some of that good crunchy stuff off, and she got that chicken out of those breasts, and she put that in there, and she put some chicken broth in there and that rice and salt and pepper. She put some other stuff in there to flavor it. But my soul, I had to go back. I hope y'all have ate tonight already. But if not, may the Lord bless you with some of that chicken and rice one day. I didn't hear you, brother. She makes the best. Okay. We're not supposed to strive, are we? A servant of the Lord, not to strive. That's what we're preaching on tonight, actually. Exhortation. That's good, brother. Brag on your wife. That's good. I bet it is good. Oh, she put those little green peas in there, too. And those are my favorite. Those little green peas. Oh, they drop straight out of heaven. Exhortation. What is the definition of exhortation? Go look it up in 1828. Webster's 1828 dictionary, not this new stuff. It means to incite for good, to encourage. It has to do with warning as well, caution, warning, incite for good, When we give this message here tonight, my wife, she always says, if the shoe fits, wear it, okay? If the phone's ringing, pick it up. It's not, and I'll be totally honest with you, it's not that I have anybody in mind on this. We all need God's word, don't we? And I really can say, God is my witness, my heart. At this moment, I don't know of anybody that's tail-bearing. If you know of somebody that's tail-bearing, I don't want to know about it, okay? But I thought, wow, should I even do this on Thanksgiving? But you're going to be with a lot of family tomorrow, right? Right? Sometimes. And I asked Brother Richard today, thank you for fixing that water leak. We had two water leaks out here. It's been going for some time, and Brother Richard dug it up and fixed it. We're getting dried out right now. Amen. Thank you, Brother Richard. But I said, what are you doing tomorrow? He said, well, lots of eating, family, conversation, and football. Amen. Some of that going on. But, you know what we need when we get around, and not just Thanksgiving, but when you're around family and friends or at the restaurant going out, we all need to be focused on the Word of God, oracles of God. Not that you can't have fun and watch a football game. I'm not saying that. But there doesn't need to be any tail-bearing or any striving or anything like that. And so, or that's not going to be a good Thanksgiving, is it? As good as it could be. So I was reading my proverb, my daily proverb, Brother John Kingsmore, and this is where we're going. Brother John, at 8 o'clock prayer on Sunday morning, he's been giving us proverbs, and it's been really good. I've enjoyed it. But go to Proverbs. So I wanted you to see that word exhort and what it meant. And then just over to Proverbs. Today's the 26th. Let me get through here. And we're going to just look at verse 20. I will go ahead and go through verse 28. It's what the Lord gave me this. And I prayed about it. I said, Lord, are you sure that I need to do this tonight? He said, do it. Just do it in love. You know, do things with truth and mercy. So this is from the Lord tonight and his word. Verse 20, where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. And I've heard that preached, brothers and sisters. We need to keep the cross in the church. If you don't preach the cross, it won't be no fire. Amen. But this is warning. It's exhortation, if you will. Where no wood is there, the fire goeth out. So where there is no what? The strife ceaseth. As coals are to burning, coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. The words of a talebearer are as what? And they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Burning lips and a wicked heart are like a potsherd covered with silver dross. He that hateth dissembleth with his lips and layeth up deceit within him. When he speaketh fair, believe him not. And there are seven abominations in his heart, whose hatred is covered by deceit. So he's a liar and fake. His wickedness shall be showed before the whole congregation. Whoso diggeth a pit shall fall therein, and he that rolleth a stone, it will return upon him. A lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it, and a flattering mouth worketh ruin. I heard Adrian Rogers say this morning, coming to church, he said, gossip is a sin of the pride of life. When one gossips, they are saying, I must win. Look at me. Look at me. In verse 20, where no wood is, there the fire goeth out, so where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. A talebearer. What is a talebearer? Definition of a talebearer. One who intentionally tells things that make mischief. Officiously, I didn't know what that meant. Officiously, in a busy, meddling manner. Officiously. And then he says, the strife ceases. What is strife? Well, it's contention. It's contention. You've heard when we go through the book of Jude, we're supposed as Christians to contend for the faith, right? But we're not supposed to be contentious when we're contending for the faith. And it's to agitate. Like sometimes my wife and I or one of us will eat too much spicy food and he'll say, oh, I have to take a Pepsi. It's agitation. It's heartburn there. It's just steady. Well, that's what strife is. Look at verse 21. As coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is the contentious man to kindle strife. We used to sing a song, it only takes a spark to get a fire going. There's people barbecuing. A lot of people barbecuing. And you folks know if you have coals, some of you just have smokers, you plug it in, throw your turkey in there. Be careful, by the way, with those fryers, turkey fryers. Be very careful with that. Don't have stuff laying around because they can get out of hand really quick. Now, they're good, they say, but yeah, they're very dangerous. But coals, if you put your coals, I don't know how you start your grills and stuff. I have one of these steel things with holes in it. It's got a handle on it, and I put my charcoal in there. Then I put that on my burner. I have like a 3-burner grill, and I put it right above that burner on the rack and then turn it on, and it just starts my charcoal. But you get it going, flames are red, and things are buzzing off on it, and dump it in my Weber grill. But if you see, if you have a coal turning white and it's getting really hot, if it just touches another one, right, it'll start, and it'll get hot quickly. And that's what he says in verse 21, as coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man that kindles strife. Verse 22, the words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. My wife and I were talking about this, wounds. They make wounds. And the wounds just come on and go. My wife said, if you have a wound on your arm, it'll heal up pretty quick. But if it's internal, some people get infected on the inside of their bodies. It's hard to get that cured and get that well. And it goes down into the belly. So what's he saying here? It just keeps going. And so wounds, and they go down into the innermost part of the belly. Verse 23, burning lips and a wicked heart are like a potsherd covered with a silver dross. So it's like a broken piece of pottery. Remember Job when he sat in the ash heaps and he had boils from his head to his feet. He would scrape his sore boils with a piece of broken potsherd. And what the picture is here, you have a piece of pottery, broken pottery, but on the outside, it's covered with silver dross. So it's not what it appears to be, and it kind of connects with verse 25. When he speaketh fair, believe him not, for there are 7 abominations in his heart, whose hatred is covered by deceit. His wickedness shall be showed before the whole congregation. And so there's hypocrisy there. Sometimes people will flatter you and build you up, but then they would stab you in the back before you know it. It's better off that you hear the truth. Amen. A wise man receives rebuke, and you'd be better off for somebody to say, look, the bridge is out, or this is the way, walk therein. than to flatter you and then be lying to you. By the way, the devil is a dirty, filthy liar. Amen. He's the father of lies. And so be very careful. We need to be peacemakers. Peacemakers. Matthew chapter 5, verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers. When we're around people, try to, Matthew 5, 9. It's good to have Denise and Gary back. We sure missed you. Appreciate you, your text and things while you were gone. 5:9, the Lord Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. My daughter's laughing. Oh. Go over to James chapter 3. That's interesting. That was a different one. I've never heard one like that. Laughter doeth good like a medicine, doesn't it? James. Hebrews James chapter 3. Okay, I want to pick it up in verse 5. James chapter 3, verse 5. I love the book of James. This is talking about the tongue. Even so, the tongue is a little member, and boasting great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And it's kind of like what we've been talking about over there, dealing with talebearers and strife and such as that. How great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a what? A world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea hath tamed, hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. Jesus can do it. Amen. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth the fountain send forth all at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine fig? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and dude with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Watch this. But if ye have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion. Brings confusion. When there's this tale-bearing going on and strife, there's confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable. So if I had a title tonight, it would be a peacemaker. Peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Blessed are the peacemakers. Jesus said that. And so I don't know about you, but I want to be a peacemaker. Do you want to be a peacemaker? Yes. We don't want to have this strife and envy and struggles and agitation and officiously in a busy way meddling. I read over in Thessalonians, and I don't even know if I can find. Yeah, here it is. and that ye study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we had commanded you. I heard a message by a pastor, meddle not with those that are given to change. But this meddling and busybodies in all of that. Now, we had one lady that was a busybody years ago. This was years ago, and her and her husband, the husband, I don't think, knew about it, realized it, but she was just a busybody. She just would go around doing what we're talking about, tail bearing and stuff. I finally went to her, Miss Joy, and the husband. I had the husband and the wife. And I tried to do it in truth and mercy. They actually stayed in the church. But I said, the problem is, I looked her right in the eye. I said, you're a busybody. The husband looked at me. Yeah. He knew it. He knew it. I said, that's not right, you know, being a busybody. Prayed for them. They stayed in church a long time. But tomorrow or whenever or the rest of your life, pastor and people, let's be peacemakers. Let's guard this tongue. Remember, God sees everything. I was amazed at this Pacific Palisades fire over in California. Some of the details, January 7th, 2025, 12 people killed, hundreds of millions in damage. Those people lost their homes down to the foundation, lost everything they had. 7,000 structures, 23,000 acres were burned. And the sad thing, they can't even get a permit to rebuild their house. But I read, there's a story of an older couple, Winston Salazar, he's 86, and his wife Susan, I think she was 85. And they had this home for years, talking about a gorgeous home, and they had remodeled it. And pretty much everybody bailed out. Hey, the officials, the cities pulled the fire trucks away from those communities. Pulled them away. We don't want to disturb the plants. They chose plants over people. Truth. Okay? Some of the hydrants didn't have water. Trucks came, hooked up to it, no water. And making fun of people who are trying to help. But Winston and his wife Susan stood outside of their home, millions of dollar home, with water hoses. Not fire hoses, but garden hoses. 86 and 85, they talked to the son. How is that? Well, he's intelligent, but he's tenacious. She had a water hose on one end of the house. He had another water hose. He got burned on his arms and face a little bit, spent a week in the hospital. But they saved their home that they loved with those two water hoses. They saved them. Saved the house. Let me ask you a question. Are you a firefighter or are you an arsonist? Amen. An arsonist, I think, started that fire. But they love their home. I don't know about you. I want to be a firefighter. I want to squirt water on the fire if there's a fire. I don't know any I'm starting squirting water on right now. But I don't want to be like it says here in Proverbs 26. And they saved it. They kept fighting for it. because they loved it.